on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Man, we're really meshing the Cajun heritage of the family with the Southwest heritage of Arizona that we love and have grown up in over the last 30, 40 plus years. And just to give all of our Arizona listening audience an idea of what it's like at LSU Stadium, what they call Death Valley, the wide receiver Bruce Ellington, who I believe plays for Detroit now, but was at South Carolina, he was a Gamecock, said, "It was so loud, I could barely read the signals. My eyes were vibrating." We're not going to get quite that kind of sound level at Cardinal Stadium, I don't think. But to talk to with us a little bit about what it's like being at Tiger Stadium, we've got the current play-by-play announcer, Chris Blair, joining us on the line, who's in town to cover this game.
Yeah, good to be with you. Yeah, happy to be in Arizona. And the weather slightly better than it was in Baton Rouge, although it's hot most of the year there. It's nice to have low humidity and mild temperatures in late December headed into the new year. But LSU is excited to be taking part in the Fiesta Bowl, the first time ever they played as a program in this long-esteemed bowl. So a lot of excitement for Coach O and the Fighting Tigers, and they've got a pretty good opponent in the Knights of UCF, who haven't lost a football game in 25 games in a row.
Is this your first time to Arizona?
Yeah, it actually is. It's the last state in the American Southwest that I have yet to visit in my career over the last 18 years, and it hit me on the charter flight over that I had never flown into Arizona, never been to Arizona. So far, so good. You know, about 24 hours or so, and loving it so far.
So how many different stadiums have you been into?
Oh, goodness. In the Power 5 level, I don't know, probably 25, 30. You know, all the ACC venues, all the SEC venues, a couple of Big 12. So I've been in quite a few.
Where does LSU Stadium rank in that?
You know, I'll be honest with you. People will say I'm biased, but, you know, I've been in some of the hallowed venues, if you will, in college sports. And, you know, most of the time people put Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge on a bucket list. And if you get the opportunity to play a game there and travel with the team you follow or the school you went to, I invite you to do so. There's really no place like it. I mean, there's some great atmosphere. There's some great tailgating all over the country. I've had the pleasure to, you know, be a part of many of those, but it's just different in Baton Rouge. And it's kind of hard to explain unless you go through it and experience it yourself. But I will tell you this, I've got a lot of good friends, and I've spent 10 years in the state of Georgia, who came over for the LSU-Georgia game this year. And they tailgate pretty good in Athens. And Sanford Stadium, obviously, is a great venue. They were upset that they were playing during the day on CBS. They wanted the experience of Tiger Stadium at night, which takes on a whole new level of tailgating and in-game experience. So that goes to show you, Georgia fans were excited about tailgating, knocking Tiger Stadium off their bucket list, but they still wanted to experience it at night. So ESPN and Ryan Russillo, I mean, he said it, you know, it's one of the top venues during the daytime. The only thing that tops it is Tiger Stadium at night.
It is an incredible experience, and my grandfather was in med school in 1958 when Billy Cannon returned the famous punt return for a touchdown on Halloween night, and they later went on that year to win the championship. And we've had season tickets on the 42-yard line, 48th row, seats 3 and 4, since 1958. And you walk into the stadium, and it feels like it's alive.
It's incredible. My father was lucky enough to join me 2 years ago in my first ever Alabama LSU game at Tiger Stadium, which was at night, primetime on CBS. And his first time going inside Tiger Stadium, he walked in about 6 minutes till kickoff. Stadium was full. The lights were going. And oddly enough, here's kind of interesting that I'm in Arizona, but he said seeing Tiger Stadium at night for the first time was like seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time. So that goes to show you what type of atmosphere is created there. And it also helps that, you know, over the last several years, LSU's put together a pretty competitive football team. But to be honest with you, those people in Louisiana, I've learned, having been there 4 years now, they'll throw a party at the drop of a hat. So you put a football game together, they're going to have a great time regardless of what's on the field.
And up until about the time you took over for Jen Hawthorne, I always streamed through the Go Zone and listened to it over the radio. But And that would help me continue doing things around the horse, cleaning stalls, doing chores, working the garden, mowing the lawn. I wouldn't have this downtime in front of the TV, but the kids couldn't visualize what's going on, so we started watching on TV to get them engaged. So I haven't got to listen to you do a lot of play-by-play, but what's it like? Yeah, you were there for the transition from to Coach O. How does the team embrace him?
Well, it's quite different, to be honest with you. I had a chance to work with Les Miles, who, again, had established himself. People felt like he was one of the top coaches in the country. And when you have, a national title in your resume, you're going to get that kind of respect. But I think also there's in a day and age where, people want success and they want it constantly, coaches can maybe overstay their time. I'm not sure if that's exactly what happened with Coach Miles, but I think there was just kind of a, hey, we've done the same thing. We're kind of getting the same results, and now we're headed into, over a decade at the helm. So, you get a fresh start with Coach O, and, the thing about Coach O is having grown up in the Bayou, not just in Louisiana, but literally in Bayou Lafourche. He's just one of those. And so there was an instant gravitation for Tiger fans, I think, because he was a Louisiana guy. He actually came to LSU to play football out of high school, only stayed about a year, and then decided to go home and finish his college career later at Northwestern State in Natchitoches. But, the thing about Coach O is people are just excited for what he's been able to do. And, his calling card has always been his entire career, even when he started out at Miami and on to Syracuse, and has been his recruiting. And I think that's, kind of where you saw LSU slip a little bit. I mean, the SEC is still a running league. Yeah, there's a lot of high-powered offenses, and there's, some quarterback play. You can look at what Gus Malzahn's doing, and even Nick Saban now obviously has opened up his offense to be much more prolific and much more challenging. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what's up front offensively and defensively. You got to have the big guys. You got to have big guys, athletic guys, skilled guys. That offensive line especially really becoming a skill position the way they coach it today. And Coach O has spent the last couple of years, beefing up that offensive front. I think they got a little thin there. And in big-time games against big-time programs, they had trouble when you're going up against 360 pounds and it happens to be an athlete. You need to be able to match that with a 360-pound athlete on the other side.
Now, you're now in your fourth year as the play-by-play announcer. Do you still need a translator for Coach O, or have you picked up on the lingo?
No, I picked up on it really well. I think it's interesting. Coach O and I get along so well, and he's really a nice guy. He's an intense guy, and when it's football time, there's nobody more intense than he is. But, off the field and in the moments I get to spend with him, he's a really personable guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He and I laugh. We do his coach's show each and every week during the football season, and in between segments during the commercials, he and I will, have a few laughs, or he'll tell something funny about what's happened the last couple of days. So I get along well with him, and yes, I understand every word he said.
How long did it take you to pronounce all the names on the team?
Now, that really was the trickier part because, again, as you know, in certain parts of Louisiana, certain, especially vowels, and even in some cases consonants, are pronounced differently. Not just differently from the rest of the country, but if you're in North Louisiana, something's pronounced different than if you're in Baton Rouge in South Louisiana. So that's been the toughest part. So I work very closely with Michael Bonnet, our sports information director, and every year when the fall roster, spring camp, or spring football, and then eventually fall camp comes around, I'll go back through the roster and I'll make sure if this kid is from Monroe, Louisiana, his name may be pronounced different than if he is from, say, Lafayette.
And what can we look forward to this Fiesta Bowl game?
You mean as far as the game plan for the actual Fiesta Bowl and
correct,
what they're trying to accomplish?
I mean, obviously, the plan's to win, but there's a lot more
planning.
It's
an interesting question because, Coach O, coming off that difficult and really disappointing loss at Texas A&M, those guys, when you go for the longest game in NCAA history and you score more points than anybody going over and over in seven overtimes, you come up short. It's not just devastating, physically from playing that type of game and that length of game over 5 hours, but mentally it is draining. So, Coach O actually challenged his staff and he challenged the players getting this bowl opportunity and getting the New Year's Six Bowl, giving them really a second, if you will, winter camp. You obviously have fall camp, you have spring football, but he kind of went into this kind of like winter camp. The guys that are going to be returning, some of the guys who will not be returning have already made that decision and, in fact, didn't make the trip out here. But for those guys who are building towards this game against Central Florida and for next season, they took this opportunity, this extra bunch of practices, actually to install some new pieces offensively. And Coach Steve Ensminger, our offensive coordinator, talked about it yesterday when he arrived here in Scottsdale and touched on the fact that he and the quarterback and the skill players really have taken to some new stuff, some new wrinkles that we haven't seen all season. And I think part of that is to build this offense. It's not where Coach O wants it to be. If you want to know what Coach O wants his LSU offense to eventually look like, you go back to Reggie Bush and the power days of Pete Carroll at USC. That's what he wants. He wants a balanced attack, but an exciting attack, both on the ground and through the air. And, of course, Joe Burrow shows up on campus in June, not expected to be the quarterback. So you kind of had this delay in how much they could put in throughout the season. And so, you know, I expect to see a few different things offensively from LSU against this UCF Knight team, who obviously have taken the film and watched what LSU has been successful with this season. But they might see something a little bit different in the way that Coach Ensminger and Joe Burrow attack this Knights defense.
And not to say anything bad about LSU's quarterbacks, but, man, we really did have a tough time. We had Jamarcus Russell, then we had Matt Flynn taking us to the national championship, and behind him, Ryan Perilou was going to take over, gets kicked off the team, and it seems like it's been a 10-year rebound recovering from getting back to that quality NFL-type quarterback. There hasn't been a quarterback from LSU in the pros since Matt Flynn.
No, you're exactly right. Nobody for LSU would disagree with you. It kind of stopped, with the Ryan Perilou incident when he was done from the team, dismissed from the team. They've kind of sputtered at quarterback since that time. And Joe Burrow, I think, is really going to come into his own. I've talked to a couple of former quarterbacks, and they talk about Joe Burrow, and they talk about, you know, what his time was at Ohio State, how beloved he was, how the coaching staff really liked him, but he was unable to win the starting job. He finishes his degree, now has 2 years remaining, decides to come to Baton Rouge. And, you know, a lot of guys told me, hey, he got here in June. He's learning a new offense with a new coordinator. And you probably will see the best Joe Burrow in his second season. But he's made some plays, and he's contributed this season. In fact, you can go back and look. There are decisions he made managing this offense that games would have turned out differently had he not been there. So I give Joe Burrow a lot of credit. Really kind of building the plane as you're taking down, taking off down the runway, trying to build it as you fly it. And I think we'll see the best Joe Burrow, you know, coming up in the 2019 season. It has been an issue. I mean, that's, you got to go back and you look at high school recruiting. And if you do, you'll notice Louisiana puts out a lot of NFL prospects. High school kids that play in Louisiana, a lot of them make it their way to the top level and the National Football League. But you don't see a lot of quarterback talent in the prep area coming out of Louisiana. You got a lot of great receivers. Certainly you have a lot of great running backs. There's just been few and far between when it comes to quarterbacks in the state of Louisiana. So, you know, LSU, you know, at times have had to go out of the state to find a quarterback. I think that's getting better. They've signed a couple of kids coming up in the next couple of classes from Louisiana who have big-time numbers. But it's just one of those things. There are certain states that produce quarterbacks. Louisiana is just not one of them.
We have Glenn Dorsey. We've got Laron Landry. We've got right here in Arizona, we've got Patrick Peterson. Honey Badger here for a little while. Early Doucette, he caught the winning touchdown pass in ASU Stadium and 2 years later was recruited to the Arizona Cardinals. So we've had the experience of a lot of that great talent here. LSU play-by-play announcer Chris Blair, we thank you for joining us this Saturday and look forward to listening to you during the game. Tuesday?
Tuesday, New Year's Day. Looking forward to it. And, boy, I tell you, as I mentioned in the outset, Arizona, the hospitality has been fantastic. And looking forward to enjoying our stay here and headed back to Baton Rouge with a victory, hopefully, on New Year's Day.
Enjoy your stay here in Arizona.
Go Tigers!